It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Heading for a blue period.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. If you just look at the stock markets, there's a sense this bailout package might not be enough to prevent a full-blown global slowdown. In Asia today, the markets are all in the red, 2 to 3%. European shares have opened lower. Commodity prices are tanking. Traders are worried about demand in a recession. Oil has fallen to $93 a barrel. The price of copper dropped 14% this week. Wall Street lost another 3 to 4% yesterday. The Dow fell 348 points to 10,482. The NASDAQ dropped 92. The S&P 500 fell 46. For the year, the Dow is down 21%. The NASDAQ and S&P have lost about 25%. Our correspondent in Washington, Nancy Marshall Genzer, is here as Marketplace continues its coverage of the financial crisis. Nancy, how intense has the lobbying effort been in the last 24 hours for this new rescue package?
You know, it has gradually gotten more intense until it is at a fever pitch, Scott. We've got the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Business Roundtable, National Association of Manufacturers. They're telling small businesses, manufacturers, call your member of Congress, tell them how you need this bill passed and how maybe right now you can't get a loan so you can stock up on inventory for the holidays and that kind of thing.
Well, what intrigued me was hearing how much lobbying the AARP is doing on this.
Yeah, they say that their members and seniors have lost more than $1 trillion in the stock market in the past year. They have activated their vast grassroots network, and tens of thousands of emails are going out to members of Congress from seniors who say they've lost money in the market.
Do we have any sense whether this lobbying effort is working in terms of getting the votes needed to pass this in the House?
You know, there has been a steady trickle of House members who've said they voted against the bill on Monday. Now they're either non-committal or they're saying, oh, yeah, I am going to vote for it. I mean, it's not a tsunami of members who are now saying they've changed their minds. But for everyone who's coming out publicly and saying they've changed their minds, there could be five more who are at least thinking about it.
All right. Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now let's follow up on one of the recent shipwrecks in the financial industry, AIG. A couple weeks ago, the government loaned AIG $85 billion. This morning, the company will tell us how it might pay that money back. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Insuring against things like shipwrecks and natural disasters used to be AIG's core business, but plain insurance is only part of the mix today. Christopher Whalen runs Institutional Risk Analytics. He says a few years ago, the company got involved with so-called credit default swaps. It took bets made by investors that other companies would fail to pay interest on their bonds and loans, and that nearly brought AIG down. Fortunately, he says, there are some bits of AIG its competitors still might like to buy.
I think the most available pieces are probably the leasing business and the insurance underwriters, which are reasonably solid.
He says private equity funds would be interested in AIG's insurance units. Whalen says the company should have stuck to what it knew best.
Because the old insurance business is a mid-double-digit gross margin business. It's very nice. They just weren't satisfied with that.
Now he says it'll probably have to sell much of that business to pay back Uncle Sam.
In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, committed to helping Americans save on gas and become energy independent at publictransportation.org. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, letting listeners know that October is Sudden Cardiac Awareness Month. More about SCA risks and treatment at hearthelp.com.
The U.S. is not the first country to go through a financial disaster. Japan in the mid-90s, we've heard a lot about that. But there's another recent case that had a much happier ending. Marketplace's Elisa Roth went to Stockholm to hear the story.
It was 1992. Sweden, long known for its strong social state and solid economic growth, found itself staring down a financial disaster. Robert Bergqvist was an economist at the Swedish Central Bank then.
We had a banking crisis, we had a currency crisis, we had liquidity crisis, all these kind of different crises at that time.
Cheap credit had helped create a real estate bubble, and it was starting to collapse. Banks were starting to fail. Do you feel like you've heard this story already? 15 years later, we know how this one turns out. Bo Lundgren was the Minister for Fiscal and Financial Affairs at the time of the crisis.
First of all, you come to a situation in a crisis where you have a loss of credibility, and you have to try to restore that credibility. The other thing is that you have to see to it that the capital base for lending is restored.
To do that, the government set up a special agency to administer the help. It insisted that shareholders step up first, and then dumped massive amounts of money into the system. It ended up taking over a couple of banks. All in all, the government put up more than $18 billion. But it hung on to the assets for a long time and managed to recover almost the whole thing. Some say it even recovered all the money. A decade and a half later, economist Bergqvist looks on the rescue almost fondly.
We're still talking about the crisis in the early 90s as something good for Sweden. It was painful. We lost lots of economic growth and so on, and people get unemployed. But I think that it was a kind of starting point for a new era concerning economic development.
Many, including Bergqvist and Lundgren, say that the changes that came out of the crisis will help Sweden through what could be tough times ahead. So can the U.S. pull off a similar coup? Former Minister Lundgren has one worry. In 1992, his government had just been elected into office, so nobody was thinking about the next election. Congress, are you listening? In Stockholm, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
If you'd like to weigh in on this, we have a place you can do that on our website, marketplace.org. And I've started a blog on this financial mess, so you can check that out as well. The link is Marketplace Off Air. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.